In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. The very definition of the word epiphany is that of revealing or an appearance. And that's what we have with Jesus when we talk about his epiphany. Jesus appears and he is revealed. He's revealed in the visit by the Magi to be a king, but not just the king of the Jews, the king that is sent for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. As a boy in the temple, he's revealed as one who gladly hears and learns the word of his Father, and one who hears and learns the word of God well. In his baptism, Jesus is proclaimed to be the Son of God by his Father in heaven, and he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. At the wedding at Cana, which we read just last week, Jesus is revealed to be the one who does what is necessary to address the troubles of this world as he blesses the feast there with wine. And in our Old Testament and in our gospel readings for today, we have Jesus coming to the aid of those who we may not expect him to come to. First, a Gentile in the centurion, a Gentile in Naaman, and then also one who is unclean in the leper. And it once again shows that Jesus comes to be the Savior of all people. Jew and Gentile alike, clean and unclean alike. And first in the Old Testament, it's Naaman. Naaman is not a role model, okay? Don't be like Naaman. Naaman has no faith. He doesn't really care if the God of Israel is the true God or not. The only reason that he goes to Israel is to do something about his leprosy. And in fact, when Elisha tells him what he must do to be healed, tells him, go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times, what does Naaman do? He goes away and says, this is ridiculous. There's better rivers for me to wash in back in Syria. He knows exactly how he wants Elisha to cure his leprosy, but Elisha won't play along. It's only after Naaman's servants finally insist, why don't you just try it, Naaman? See what happens. That he finally submits to Elisha's instructions to go and wash himself in the Jordan. To Naaman, this was too simple. I mean, he had brought gifts to pay Elisha. All those goods that the Old Testament reading talked about. He brought all of that to pay the man who was going to heal him of his leprosy. And Elisha doesn't even take them. He thought Elisha would make the effort to come out and lay his hands on him or something like that. But Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. He sends his messenger instead. And so Naaman initially rejects the ceremony that would save him. And he instead tries to place his own ceremony in place of it. He's got in his mind what needs to be done. And what Naaman does is introduce this ceremony that he just doesn't think will work. You see, as fallen humans, the ceremonies, the sacraments that God gives us sound too easy. I mean, baptism is just water being poured on our head. How can that actually accomplish anything? The Lord's Supper is just bread and wine. How can that possibly do anything, especially the things that it says it does? But of course, the reason that these sacraments are efficacious, the reason that they create and sustain faith, is that God attaches his word of promise to them, to these ordinary, everyday things. They are intentionally simplistic, too simplistic, we think. And so we try and replace God's ceremonies with ceremonies of our own that make more sense to us. And so that's how we end up with churches that replace infant baptism with infant dedication and the Lord's Supper with altar calls. The way in which God offers his gifts, gives his gifts, seems way too easy. So we've got to come up with something more, something that makes more sense in our heads. for Naaman it was simple. Even though he has no faith, he's healed of his leprosy. He's healed because God attaches his word of promise to the Jordan River. And in the same way, baptism and the Lord's Supper give us the gifts won by Christ on the cross because God says so. He attaches his word to these gifts. In our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus comes down from the mountain where he's just completed, or completed is the wrong word, he's just completed this course, if you will, of instruction with his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, he taught the disciples, but the action of Jesus coming down the mountain shows why he's come down from heaven. He didn't come down only to stay up on the mountain teaching his disciples. In a couple weeks, we'll have the transfiguration of our Lord, and our Lord was not transfigured there and wasn't going to stay there. No, he has to come down and do the task that he has been sent to do, to be the Savior of all people, to save sinners. In the gospel reading, Jesus heals two men. These are two men that Jesus had no business being in contact with at all. No self-respecting Jew would go near either one of them. Nobody's going to go near the leper because they're unclean. And nobody's going to go near the centurion either because they're a Gentile and they too are considered unclean. But there's Jesus. Before the leper is cleansed, when he's still unclean, Jesus not only approaches him, but he touches him. This is more than just simply a matter of contracting a disease. The rabbis of that day taught that the reason a person had leprosy was that they were being punished for some sin that they had committed or some sin that their parents had committed. And likewise, Jesus shows willingness to go to the centurion's house. Centurions are Romans. Jesus was about to make himself ceremonially unclean and go down to the centurion's home. He didn't go, but he would have. And so in both instances, Jesus shows he's not afraid to put himself in the presence of sinners. Instead, he's willing to become so unclean so that he can grant them healing. Jesus is willing to switch places with these sinners, and that's what he does in his baptism too. He takes on the sins of the world, and in the place of sin, he clothes us with his righteousness in our baptism. While Naaman lacked faith in the true God, notice the faith of the men who interact with Jesus in the gospel reading for this morning. The leper doesn't understand who Jesus is necessarily and what he's all about. But that's not too much of a knock on him. After all, the disciples didn't either until even after Jesus rose from the dead. But the leper knows that Jesus can do what is needed. Just like Mary last week knew that Jesus could do what is needed to solve the problem of the wedding running out of wine. Here, this leper knows that Jesus can do what is needed. The centurion gives an even greater example of faith. Jesus says to him when the centurion comes, "Hey, my servant is sick." Jesus says, "Well, hey, I'll go down and heal him. He's ready to go." But the centurion says, "No, you don't need to do that." And he gives the example of those who serve under him. When he says, "Do this," they do that. When he says, "Go," they go. And the centurion knows that if Jesus says about his servant, "Be healed," even if he's nowhere near him, it'll happen. The bottom line from both of these healing miracles here, though, is that Jesus shows himself to be the Savior of all people who's willing to put himself in the place of sinners. That's what he does throughout his whole earthly ministry. When he goes to the cross, he's suffering the punishment for your sins. When he rises from the dead and ascends into heaven, he shows that way that all believers in Christ will one day go. How weak our faith can be at times. How often we, like Naaman, reject the word of God and promises that it gives. How often we think that our sins are too great that God won't be able to forgive them. We convince ourselves we shouldn't be at church because we're not worthy to be here. Because church, we suppose, is the place where people that have everything in order go each week. When things aren't going well for us, we fear showing our face in church. And so we decide that the church has no place for us because everybody else is that much better than we are. But the truth is that all of us here are dirty sinners. We're unclean. Our sins are great. We're filthy. If the world could somehow see just how sinful we really are from the outside, nobody would come near us. We'd be like that leper, ostracized. But Jesus comes near to you. He comes near in holy baptism and he washes you clean. He comes near in holy baptism where you hear that you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He comes near to you in Holy Communion where he feeds you with his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, Jesus comes near to you to take on the sins of everyone, even you. He comes and takes your place. He takes your sins, your filthiness, and in exchange he gives you his forgiveness and his cleanliness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.